Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, guys, we're going to start a new series today. I've entitled it Experiencing the Relationship, the Lord and You. And this first message is really to help you to understand why we need to have the relationship. So when I talk about the relationship, I'm talking about a reality that for many of us, we may not even be aware of. I'll be honest, I got saved in 1985, so that would be 39 years ago. And when I got saved, you know, I came to Jesus, I understood who he was, I decided I would follow him. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't until maybe 3 years later that I didn't have ever introduced to me that I could have an intimate interaction with the Lord. Now, in those 3 years, I was taught to pray, I was taught to read the Bible, I was taught to share my faith, and I was taught a set of beliefs to believe because I'm following Jesus. But having a personal interaction with the Lord, that didn't even enter into my mind. And through the years, I've been growing in my understanding to the point where I realize that's really what it's all about. Christianity is not about you being forgiven of your sins. Now, it's a part of it, and it's an important part, and I'm going to show you why here in a moment. But it's about something so much more. It's about God's intention for humanity, for you. Because you, if you want to write this down, you can. You were created for a relationship. Now you say, oh yeah, I'm married, I got a good spouse. No, that's a nice relationship, but that's not what you were created for. You were created for a relationship that goes far beyond even that human relationship. You were created for a relationship with the living God. And that's his desire for you. And so today, I want to talk about where we began. And I've entitled the message, Paradise Lost. Now, for some of you, you're like, well, isn't that a book written by John Milton, some old English guy several hundred years ago? Yes, and maybe you remember an English class where you looked at it. Yes, I borrowed the title. I'm not going to talk about John Milton and what he wrote. But I am going to talk about the scripture. So I'm going to have you turn in several places today. And we're going to look at a few verses at a time. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to try to understand why we have this relationship and what happened to it. But in order to understand why we need to look at it, I need to talk about the reality of our ignorance. Why is it that this whole concept of a relationship is lost to us? Now, there are two types of ignorance in this world. There's willful ignorance, where you choose not to be aware of something. But then there is a ignorance, and this is the one that we deal with, where we were never made aware of. We didn't have any clue about it, so therefore we're ignorant of it. I'm not talking about willful ignorance. Now, you could choose willful ignorance after you find out about the relationship. But what we want to do is make an understanding with us about our unaware ignorance. So here it is. 2 points I want you to see. Here's the first one. It's common for us to see faith in Christianity as only a belief system. So usually when you talk to people and you say to them, are you a Christian? Why do you know you're a Christian? A lot of times it is because you will say things like, well, I believe this, or I believe this about the Bible, or I believe that Jesus died for me, and I prayed this prayer, and I asked him to come into my life. And you list off all of these things about your faith, and about Christianity. And it's only in terms of a belief system. I was confronted with that. I told you it took me 3 years to realize the whole issue of the relationship is when I decided to go study the Bible. And my assistant pastor at the time took me up to the school that I was going to, and we were staying in the home of a Nazarene minister, which I told you was a great influence in my life. And we were staying at home, and as we were at his door, I remember knocking on the door with this assistant pastor, and our host came out, and the first thing out of his mouth to me was, "Hi, George, it's so good to see you. How do you know that Jesus is alive today?" And so I'm sitting there, first of all, like, what do you do with a question like that? And he was a good-sized man, although I was taller than him. He was a man, a bear hunter from Maine. And he had a firm handshake. And I'm like, and I'm thinking through my mind all of these theological truths, but he wasn't talking about theological truths. He wanted to know, how did I personally know that God was alive today in my life? And the only way to know that is to have a relationship with it. So the reason why a lot of times we're ignorant, unaware sometimes, is because it's common for us to see it as only a belief system. Here's the other thing. We are unaware of what our faith is truly about. So can I tell you something? What your faith is not about, and you need to hear me before you react. Your faith isn't about being forgiven. Your faith isn't about heaven later on, being in the new creation. Your faith isn't about God answering your prayers right now. That's not what your faith is about. Your faith is about a living person, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, God Himself, coming to reestablish a relationship with you and having that intimate relationship with you. That's where we're at. We need to understand that. But the problem is, we're totally unaware of that. And how do I know? Because it's reflected in your seriousness about Jesus, whether you talk with him or not, whether you seek after him or not, whether you spend time with him or not. Do you understand? You can tell where people are at in their relationship with him by whether or not they spend time with each other, right? If you say you're interested in somebody, why aren't you hanging out with them? You know? If this person means that much to you, why aren't you in communication with them? What do you mean you've gone 2 weeks without talking to them? They mean that much to you? This is the reality. So we have this ignorance. So, all right, so George, all right, I want to be informed now. How do I get informed? Well, let's go all the way to the beginning. So the first place I want to stop is I want to talk about God's intention. If we're going to understand the relationship, we got to understand God's intention. What was God setting out to do? So I want you to go all the way to the first book of the Bible, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 4 to 9. Here is what he writes. These are the generation of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. And there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here's what I want you to see. The Lord God created a perfect place and put man and woman in it. If you go a little bit further in the passage, you hear how Eve was created. But here he is. He created a perfect place, and he put man in it. Now, why did he create a perfect place, and why did he create them? Well, that's where we're going to go over now to chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 talks about the sin that happened and the curse and so forth. But I want you to notice with me chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. I want you to notice what is happening here. This is after they've sinned, but there's something that's revealed here. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. All right, stop. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" All right, so I'm going to tell you something. He created that garden, and he put man and woman there because he met with them there. God met with them. But let's go on a little bit further. I want you to notice with me now verse 22 and 24. Because they sinned, something's happened now. Look with me at verse 22 and 24. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. And he drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." He threw them out. The relationship was broken. So I want you to think, in the beginning, here it is, the Lord interacted with them in the garden, but their sin destroyed the relationship. This is what I need you to understand. God's intention from the beginning when he created humanity was to personally interact with them. Do you understand? And he created this perfect place. And they were perfect. You think you're perfect? You're not. You're corrupt. They were perfect at that point. No sin. Every need met. Yeah, they had responsibilities. But they were perfect, and God met with them himself, walked with them in the cool of the day. And guess what? They sinned, and he had to force them out of the garden. Force them out of the garden. In fact, the implications of that we find in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Listen to what Paul says about this. Here's what he says. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. He was a type of one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For many died through one man's trespass. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace by that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." So even in the midst of this, Paul says, even with this, God still has grace through who? Jesus. That's why Jesus came. Why did he come? Well, that's our next section. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn now all the way to John chapter 17. Turn with me over to John 17, and we're going to see the Lord's desire. Okay, so I want you to think this before we look at this passage. Here's God, creates this perfect place, creates man and woman, puts them in it, he interacts with them. They sin against him. They break the relationship. But does that end everything as far as what God thinks about mankind? No. God still has a desire. And the perfect place to see that desire is in the high priestly prayer of Jesus in the garden before he goes to the cross. So I want you to notice with me now verses 1 to 3 of chapter 17. Here's what he says. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. All right, now pay attention to verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, let me just point something out there. That word know is in our English. Greek has several different words for it. Here, because we have know, it can mean anything. Like, I know the stats for a football team. And I say, I know Bruce. But my meaning of know can be different depending on the circumstance I use it in. Here it says that they may know us. It's not that we know about God or about Jesus, but that we know him intimately. This is what eternal life is. Eternal life is personally knowing God. That's his desire. It didn't change. Did you understand? With that first original sin with Adam and Eve that destroyed the relationship, his desire to intimately know you and I has remained the same. And so Jesus, in his prayer, right before he goes to the cross to pay the penalty for that sin, is praying that we would have eternal life to know him. So here's what I want you to see. Here's the point I want you to see. It is Jesus' desire that we would eternally have a relationship with him. You know when eternal life begins, folks? Eternal life does not begin when you breathe your last in this world. Eternal life began the moment you got saved. You entered into a personal relationship with the living God of the universe. Now, for some of you, that might be the first time you've heard that. But that is reality. That is the reason why he came to the cross, is so that you might have a relationship with him. That's what eternal life is. Eternal life began the moment you got saved. You entered into a relationship with him. Here's one other thing I want you to see. I want you to notice with me, go down to verses 10 through 11 now in chapter 17. Look at what he says now. Verse 10. He says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them, but I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. What's he talking about there? I understand some things he's saying there, George. What's he saying? He's saying to God in his prayer, I'm coming to you. You've given me these. And who are these? Well, the disciples, but it's you and I. You've given me these. But I'm coming to you, and these belong to you as well. I'm coming to you, Father. You keep them. You take care of them. You watch over them. You keep them because I'm no longer going to be here. You keep them because they're in the world, and I'm coming to you. What's the point I want you to see here? Here it is. Jesus wanted to ensure that the relationship would not be broken again. God is so serious about the relationship, he's not going to have it get messed up like it did the first time. And the first time, it was one man's sin that brought the broken relationship, right? But now there's reconciliation in that relationship. And that relationship isn't contingent on us anymore, is it? It's contingent on what Jesus did for you on the cross and paying the penalty for your sins. And so he's saying, you keep them. You hold on to them. Because they're mine and they're yours. Isn't that an awesome thought? He so wants to have a relationship with you and I. Did you understand? This is the reason why we come here. Is to meet with him. And to meet with him as we interact with each other. Because why? Scripture says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in their midst. Do you understand? So where's this all headed, George? Well, let's talk about the future. Because he's going to keep us while we're here, right now, but there's something future. So let's go to Revelation. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. So let me kind of fill you in what's happening at this point in Revelation 21. Well, in Revelation 20, the end of 20, is when the great white throne judgment is and all unbelievers have been cast into the lake of fire. It is now believers. It is now his children, the people who have a relationship with him. But I want you to notice with me verses 3-4. Here's what he says. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Whoa! And he will dwell with them. Wow! And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be there mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So here's what I want you to see. First thing, the Lord himself will interact with us and comfort us. Kind of reminds you of Genesis, doesn't it? Where he created a perfect place and he what? Interacted with them. And so in the future, folks, it's not going to be theological lessons, classrooms that we're going to. We're going to be interacting with God. And what is he going to do? Comfort us. Why? Because where we live right now is hard. Things are done to us that are wrong. We experience wrong things. We hurt. We hurt. And he'll wipe away every tear. That's intimacy. Do you know what I'm saying? That's intimacy. Sharing in our pain. That's God. Here's the second thing I want you to do. Look over one chapter, chapter 22. How do you know it's going to be like that? Well, look at chapter 22. Kind of reminds you of what we read about in chapter 2 and 3 of Genesis. Look at me, with me, verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit. The tree of life, where did we hear about that? The Garden of Eden, remember? And there was angels set up so that they couldn't go there. So here we are, we're in the new heavens, the new earth, on the new earth, and guess what? There's the tree of life again, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will, listen to this, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more, and they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Here's the final thing I want you to see. Mankind will once again physically interact with the Lord. That's what's coming. All right, so George, you gave us from Genesis to Revelation, you showed us God's desire, showed us what we lost, paradise lost, showed us about paradise coming again. What's this all about? Have you not clued in yet? This is about you interacting with the one who wants to interact with you. This is about the one who loves you, God. And when you meet with him, you don't need to, you know, I could think about, you know, if I'm working and Lori and I are going on a date, first thing I'm going to do as soon as I know we're going on a date after I've been working or something is get a shower and comb what's left of my hair, and so forth, and be ready for my time of going out with her. Do you understand? Well, with God, you don't even have to do that. He accepts you the way you are. Because he wants to be with you. Do you understand? This is about the relationship. And this is about what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. Because you might be saying, George, I want that relationship. But what do I do with that? How do I go there? How do I interact with him? And believe me, folks, he will interact with you. He will speak to you. He will guide you. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the ways that he's shown us in his word about interacting with him. And it is my desire, this is what I want for us, for myself and for you, is that we would learn that this is what Christianity is about. Interacting with the Lord God himself. And then introducing that Lord God to other people. Do you understand? Because other people are looking for something. Do you understand that the hole that is in our hearts cannot be filled with stuff or with people? It's a hole that can only be filled with God. Because why? He created us for him. And when that relationship was broken, the only way for that hole to be filled is what? Interacting with him. So the question is, it's one thing to be ignorant because you didn't know. Now the question is, are you going to choose to be willfully ignorant? Are you going to want to go deeper and find out more and be in this wonderful relationship with him? That's what we need to think about. And my hope is, knowing that he wants a relationship with you, that you and I will just run to him.
Hi, folks. This is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning. And I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free, and what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.